message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. One night, there was a father and his son, and they were walking down the street of a major city. When they came near an alley, they noticed that there was a young man in his 20s sitting on the curb weeping. They asked him what was wrong, and the young man said, "My mother and I have been homeless for months and we're starving. In fact, she's so weak she can't even walk. She's sitting back in the alley. I came out here to cry because I can't stand to watch her suffer." The father and his son looked at each other, and without speaking a word, they both knew what they would do. The father said, "Don't despair. My son and I will help you. Please take us to your mother, and we will help her and you to the nearest restaurant where we will buy you both a hot meal. And after that, we will get you a room, and we will give you enough money to buy some groceries for the next few days." Well, the homeless youth smiled, and then he led the father and his son back into the dark alley. After they walked about 50 yards, they saw a bunch of boxes stacked on top of each other, about 12 feet high. The homeless youth then said, "Go on, my mom's just around the corner on the other side of those boxes." But when the father and his son walked around in those boxes, they were shocked when five other youth jumped out of the darkness. Four of those youth had knives in their hands, and one of them held a gun. At that time, the first youth who had led them into this trap said to the father, "Give me your wallet now." So the father gave him the wallet, and the youth took out all his money and then threw the wallet away off into the darkness. The father then said, "Please let us go now. You have what you want." However, the youth then said, "No, we're not done yet." At that moment, two of the youth grabbed the father and held him tight. The other four, well, two of them started stabbing the son with knives, while the other two started beating him over the head with their fists. And while they did this, they spit on him and called him a sissy do-gooder. Before he died, the son looked up at his father with blood dripping down his face and pain in his eyes, and the son said, "Father, please, please give them all the life insurance money you will get after I die, because I want them to know that you still love them and that you will forgive them." The father answered, "Yes, my son, I will do as you ask." And after the father spoke those words, his son died. Now, does that story sound believable to you? Could you show such love to wicked people like that? Could I forgive men after watching them beat my son who only wanted to help them? You know, I don't think I have that much love in my heart. And I don't think you have that much love in your hearts either. Tonight we continue our Lenten sermon series entitled Jesus Crosswords, based on the seven statements Jesus uttered when he was hanging on the cross for us. And tonight we hear these words, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." At our Ash Wednesday service 2 weeks ago, we learned that Jesus' cross words are actually sermons. Jesus speaks these words to us so that we might repent of our sin and trust in him. So, what's Jesus trying to teach us tonight? Two things. First, Jesus is teaching us about God's amazing love for us. And second, Jesus is teaching us how God's love will change our hearts. You know, Many people in our nation seem to know even less about the Bible than they did decades ago. However, if people do know any Bible passages at all, the one they usually know is this: God is love. Most people know that one. They might not know it's from the Bible, but they know God is love. In fact, everyone in this world is okay with the idea that God is love. I mean, who would have a problem with that, right? But do we really understand those three words? Do we know what God is love actually means? You know, we live in a world full of people who know nothing about true love. You see, for many people, love is a feeling or an emotion. But when that feeling or emotion ends, so does the friendship or the marriage. In addition, love in this world is usually conditional. I'll love you if. I'll love you when. I'll love you as long as. But when the conditions are not met, the love ends. You know, we like to think that we're loving people, but it's amazing. We end up hurting the very people we should love the most. Children disrespect and disobey their parents. Parents ignore or abuse their children. Wives and husbands become self-centered and eventually break their marriage vows. Fellow Christians in a congregation gossip about each other and hold grudges. And you know, we wish we could just help those poor children in Africa whose names we don't even know, but we find ways to ignore the poor that we do know right here in our own community. Oh, we like to think we're loving people, but we need to hear these words of Jesus from Matthew 5. Jesus says, "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Wow. Did you hear what Jesus said? Be perfect as God is perfect. How can we possibly do that? We can't. You see, God's love is beyond what we sinners can comprehend or even accomplish. For example, most of you, I'm sure, know the words of John 3:16, which read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." The question is, what kind of world did God choose to love? He chose to love a world full of people who are his enemies. Think of it. Even though we sin against God every day by our desires, by our thoughts, by our words, and by our deeds, he still gives us food and clothing and shelter and many other luxuries. But even more than all that, the Father sent his Son to love us. But what did we do to Jesus? We put him on a cross. Now, I know what you might say, because I'm tempted to say the same thing. Wait a minute, Pastor. I didn't put Jesus on the cross. Those evil people back then are the guilty ones. It's those Jews and Romans back then. They're the ones who killed him. But me? I'm innocent of Christ's death. No. No, my friends, we're not innocent. You see, no one forced Jesus to go to the cross. Jesus was God in the flesh. He could have wiped out his enemies at any moment. Jesus could have come down from the cross, just as some mockingly challenged him to do, but he did not. So that leads to a question. What kept Jesus on the cross? Not the nails. What kept him on the cross? Your sins, my sins. Every time we hurt the ones we ought to love, every time we think we have a right to hate others and a right to hold a grudge, we thereby mock Jesus and spit on him and nail him to the cross. But here's the really amazing thing. Jesus lets us do it to him. And why? The reason is that he loves us. In fact, that's why Jesus gives us this sermon tonight. His sermon is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What's Jesus trying to teach us? Well, let's look at the second statement first. Jesus said, they don't know what they're doing. Now, these words are often misunderstood. You see, some wrongly interpret these words as though the ones who crucified Jesus were actually innocent. They were innocent because they supposedly didn't know any better. But that's ridiculous. You see, if they were innocent, then they didn't need to be forgiven. No, my friends, they were not innocent. And neither are we. So then, what did Jesus mean when he said, they don't know what they're doing? What he meant was this. Father, they are absolutely crazy. They don't have a clue about true love. They are totally messed up. We need to help them. We need to save them. You see, the reason we can't love as God loves is that we don't know what we're doing. In other words, our minds are messed up because our hearts are full of rebellion against God. We are self-centered people. We can't love our enemies because we can't even love the people closest to us perfectly. So, when Jesus says they don't know what they're doing, he means that I need help. You need help. We all need help. And the good news I have for you tonight is that God helps us. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. But how is that possible? How can the Father forgive people who are mocking and killing his own son? You know, the answer seems almost crazy to us sinners. The answer is that God forgives us because he hated his own son in our place. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, we need to understand what the Bible teaches about God. First of all, it teaches that God is holy. There is no evil in God. Therefore, God hates our sin, and he must give us what our sin deserves. And what we deserve is his wrath and eternal separation from his love. However, that's not the whole story. You see, the Bible teaches that God is not merely holy. God is also love. Therefore, God longs to save the very sinners he ought to hate. So what did God do? I mean, he can't simply ignore our sin. He can't simply allow us to remain his enemies. We'd never have a relationship with him then. So what did God do? God chose to use our hatred of him as the very way to save us from his wrath against us. The Father sent his own son to the cross to suffer his wrath against our sin so that we might be forgiven and have new life as God's children. So when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, He's not telling God to ignore our sin, nor is Jesus trying to convince his Father to love us, because you see, the Father already loved us, and the Father could not ignore our sin, and so his solution was to give us his one and only Son. Jesus prays the words, "Father, forgive them," for us. When Jesus prays those words, he's using those words to transform our hearts and minds with God's amazing, unconditional love. But you know, some will say, "Wait a minute, Pastor, how can you say that God's love is unconditional? Doesn't the Bible say that the Father will send some people to hell just because they don't believe in Jesus?" My friends, this is confused thinking. The Bible is very clear. God wants all to be saved. That's why he sent his Son to the cross. God loves the people that will end up in hell. But you see, the reason that people end up in hell is that they cling to their sin and they choose to reject the unconditional love of God. My friends, if people don't want to be with God, then there is only one other option. God remains faithful, even though we remain unfaithful. My friends, the good news I have for you tonight is Jesus' cross words, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." These words transform our hearts and minds. These words force us to admit that we're out of our minds and that God's amazing love is the only thing that can begin to give us any sanity. Tonight, Jesus is telling you that the Father forgives you because he chose to hate his own Son in your place. The Father put your sin on his Son, and he gave Jesus the damnation you deserve. And through that miraculous sacrifice, God wants to prove to you once and for all that his love for you is real and true. Just think of it. You should have received the Father's eternal wrath, but instead, the Father gave you his Son, Jesus. Sadly, though, if you think that you have a right to your hatred, if you think that there's no reason why you should forgive others, then you thereby reject the mercy of God for yourself. But my friends, God doesn't want that to happen to you. God doesn't want you to be eternally destroyed by the hatred in your heart. That's why Jesus says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." When God shows you how sinful you are and that you deserve only his wrath, when God shows you his love for you by giving you his one and only Son, then you can begin to love and forgive others just as God now loves and forgives you. But please understand, this doesn't mean that we can love and forgive others perfectly. The fact is, we Christians struggle with the sins of evil anger and hatred every single day. And that's exactly why we need Jesus every single day. So my friends, this is how we should pray to God. "Jesus, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm crazy. Please teach me how to love. I don't have the strength or even the wisdom to love others the way you want me to do. So Jesus, please forgive the hatred and anger in my heart. Help me to forgive and love others as you already love and forgive me. I ask this because you loved me enough to die for me even though I was your enemy. So Jesus, forgive me and love me so that I can begin to love and forgive others." My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, please keep on hearing and believing Jesus' cross words, "Father, forgive them. they don't know what they're doing. The more you hear and believe those words, the more you will have peace and joy in this life. The more you hear and believe those words, the more you will begin to imitate the amazing love and mercy of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.